Welcome back to Start, Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. Kyle is with me. My God, we're regular. We're as regular as two 40-year-olds on Metamucil can be, aren't we, Kyle? And this week, I can't believe you held it in for that one.
We're a little late to recording this week because Travis, as I don't know if I've told the Scottcast listeners this before, but you have to think of Travis as like a delicate 19th century Edwardian era lord. Like, sometimes if he takes in bad humors, he's gonna shit himself for days. There will be vague reports from the court, aka his wife, as to whether or not they expect him to pull through this one. By diseases that we thought were cured centuries ago. Right. This man got West Nile virus one time. We tried recording Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He was sick, but now we're back. We are here. I think I sound a little scratchy.
That's right.
The streptococcus virus is running through my household right now, I hope.
So you get normal shit. You're like, I have a cold. I have the flu. Yeah. I got strep throat. Right, yeah. Me, I'm like, I got the plague. I'm sorry. I'm going to be out for a couple days with rhinovirus or something. Like, just something ridiculous. But yeah, I'm back. I'm back at mostly 100% health. And we're here today, Kyle, because we're talking about a Bears win, a very encouraging win.
We don't get to do a lot of these. I was worried we were going to have to cancel this week, and I was like, we get like...
Well, here's the deal.
We have had like five victory podcasts since we started this thing. We can't skip one.
We're going to be positive about this victory, very happy. But I have seen what many Bears fans are talking about, and they are down in the goddamn dumps. And I got to tell you, Kyle, I'm getting kind of tired of that level of Bears fan. These people who just want to come out and be like, it's the same old shit. We're just going to be terrible. Everything's awful because we're the Bears. And this is such a clearly different sort of scrappy, gritty, gutted out win from what we're used to.
It
frustrates me that people put them in the same basket.
It was about who led it, for one. Like, for instance, you know, how many of the gritty, ugly Bears wins of the past, do you remember the quarterback leading them on a game-winning drive? Like, how many times do you... It's really funny. We have the Discord. We talked about it the last couple of weeks. We've been telling people, you know, what to do to get themselves in there. We had to boot a guy. Only one guy, but we booted a guy for the first time ever in the history of the Discord. And if he's listening, if he's man enough to listen to this podcast after getting the boot, we booted that gentleman in the second quarter because he was having a total fucking meltdown. He was like, this game proves that either Ben Johnson or Caleb Williams isn't who they say they are, so which one is it, and why are we coping? And it was the second quarter. They were down by, mind you, 5 points. They never trailed in that entire game by more than 5 points, which I'm not, you know, the best at math, but I think that's less than one touchdown. And I think it stayed a one score game the entire time. So he was like, I'm so tired of seeing that the Bears not over, because I was like, well, here's what's happening right now, man. There's tipped balls. Cole Kmet dropped what could have been a touchdown pass. Like, there's Max Crosby is going up against a backup tackle and he is wrecking shit. He was like, well, when are they going to scheme around it? When are they going to overcome this? And he got himself booted, not just for that, but for just being an asshole about it when people told him to calm down. But he got booted and before you saw them do that. What did Ben Johnson do? He schemed around it. He switched up the lineup on the offensive line. He changed the play calling. He schemed around it. And what did Caleb Williams do? He made plays when his protection broke down. He made plays on the run. He scrambled. He made throws on the run. He did all of the... He engineered a game-winning drive. He engineered a comeback. He made a beautiful touchdown pass to Rome Odunze. Maybe my favorite pass that he's thrown so far in his young professional career because of the process behind it, the part of the field it was to, the anticipation that it required. We saw the coach and the quarterback overcome a complete disaster start. We overcome Max Crosby being a one-man wrecking crew. How many Bears games have we seen in the past where the backup tackle being overwhelmed was enough to derail everything? I mean, Rashad Coward practically destroyed an entire season just by being a bad backup tackle. So how many times have you seen them win that game? Because I've seen them lose that game dozens, if not hundreds of times in my life. But I have only seen them win it, I think, just one time.
The Eberflus Bears give up that game immediately, right? I mean, we started that game, and it was like Max Crosby was allowed to line up in the Bears' backfield, it felt like, which I didn't know was legal. Apparently, that is legal when you're Max Crosby. He was treating Theo Benedet like he came from the CFL or something. Like, he was a Canadian of some sort.
He was scrambling old eggs, Benedet. He was.
And he seemed to see something about Caleb on tape. We've talked about this a little bit before, about Caleb in college, about Caleb last year. He's vulnerable to tipped passes sometimes.
He's got them batted passes sometimes.
And I guess Max knew about that because sometimes he just waited. He waited, yeah. And then he was like, thwack, I'm going to knock the ball down. It felt like everything was kind of going wrong for the Bears offensively. Defensively, you know, we were putting Geno Smith through the ringer. And yeah, I'll give you this. How many times have we seen that as a Bears fan? Defense is carrying. The offense can't convert. It felt fait accompli that we were going to lose that game and it was just going to suck. We were going to feel awful about this team. But yeah, what you expect from a good head coach, a good quarterback, and a good wide receiver, which the Bears apparently have all of a sudden, is to adjust. You go into the second half and you say, fuck it, we're going to try something else. We're going to figure out what's going wrong. We're going to deal with it. And man, Ben took a swing. He moves Benedet over to the left side. He benches Braxton Jones. He puts Ozzie Trapillo in at right tackle. Lo and behold, it works.
Got a little bit more Manon guy.
Two touchdowns, a field goal, and one failed drive there in the whole second half. Like, the offense really clicked. They figured out how to deal with Crosby. Yeah, like you said, all of a sudden the running game opened up a bit, didn't it? With Braxton on the bench, I hate to say that. You and I love Braxton, but he hasn't been himself. And Benedet there on the left side, it just worked. And I didn't know this. It was pointed out to me at the Discord, like, apparently Max Crosby doesn't move. He stays there against the right tackle. And Trapillo, he held his own. He did a great job. One thing he didn't do is he didn't check Crosby when he was jumping, but that is such a... That is a veteran technique. That's something you want to work through.
I do expect punishing jumpers will be a point of emphasis for the Bears going forward. I would hope to see some adjustments there. But yeah, I mean, it just, yeah, they like, and no, Caleb did not have the prettiest game in the box score. The interception, tipped ball, what are you going to do about that? You know, the batted passes. You can't absolve him of all responsibility because this is a trend with him, as we've discussed. At the same time, like, I watched those batted passes, and when it's Max Crosby, you're kind of just like,
yeah,
I don't know what you do, because, like, if the guy that you're supposed to throw to is behind Max Crosby, I don't want you to not throw to him, I guess. But at the same time, Max Crosby's a really big dude, and Theo Benedet with those short arms, little T-Rex a bit, was not quite able to counter that particularly. It's one of those things that if I feel strongly that if Darnell Wright had played in that game, and this is Darnell who mostly held Max Crosby in check as a rookie with one arm pinned to his side the entire game. I think if Darnell had played that game, the Bears offense actually has a fairly smooth time of it. And it's not necessarily a blowout, but a fairly comfortable Bears win. They actually finished some of those drives. But yeah, I mean, we finished the quarter mark of the season, and with Caleb Williams right now, in camp, we talked about it in camp where there was this kind of attitude from Bears fans. They didn't want to hear it. They just didn't want to hear all of the explanations because they'd heard them so many times. They'd made them so many times and were disappointed anyways. But we said in camp, like, this is a new offense. The offensive line has three new starters, might have four. This is going to take time to gel. Caleb is a rookie. He's a second year QB. He's learning from scratch this new off. We made all these things, and I could feel people shriveling and their buttholes puckering as we said it, because, like, yeah, how many times have I said that before? But here's the thing. We're at the quarter mark of the season. Caleb is anywhere from, like, 8th to 15th, I would say, in most quarterback play metrics, whatever you really want to look at. A little lower on success rate, a little lower on completion percentage above expectation. I do think people are freaking out a little too much on the completion percentage over expectation. The reason his CPOE is so bad is not because he's just missing tons of wide open passes. It's that some of the passes he've missed are, like, behind the line of scrimmage or 2 yards in front of him. And I think those are mostly miscommunication things, but that will destroy your completion percentage over expectation, because the expected completion percentage on those is like 100%. So if you miss them, it really dings your CPOE, but I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think that's something, you know, the comforting thing about Caleb is that the things he has improved on, the things that he's doing well at this year, are all the things he was bad at last year. The sack avoidance, I I understand people not wanting to believe that it's real, and I'm sure he'll have a couple games this year where he takes his fair share of sacks. But, like, the pressure to sack rate right now is less than half of what it was last year. It was over 28% last year. It's under 14% right now. And that is a QB-controlled stat. He's doing an amazing job of feeling pressure, getting out of the pocket, not lingering too long, feeling those rushers, extending when he needs to, not leaving clean pockets, though. Has not done that, but making plays when he does. He pretty much got that game-winning drive going by feeling the rush, escaping on the move, and right, the classic Caleb Williams move, right as it looked like he was about to cross the line of scrimmage, you know, the Aaron Rodgers where you're like, oh, well, at least we forced him to scramble. He pulls up, and with basically no part of his body on the ground, whips it to DJ Moore for a 15, 20-yard completion, whatever it was. That really broke the Raiders back there. You can see going. But the sack avoidance has been incredible. The pressure to sack rate's incredible. The sack percentage overall is less than half of it was last year. The deep passing. He's a top 8, I think, deep passer right now by completion percentage and PFF grade on deep throws. The intermediate passing is better. On all throws past the sticks, he's great. In terms of clean pocket passing grade and performance, which tends to be more stable than anything, he's top 10. In pass rate or pass EPA in expected pass situations. And there have been a lot of those for the Bears. There was actually another chart I saw earlier today where the Bears offense is incredible right now on third down, despite being bad on first and second downs. Because even in third and 10, third and 13, third and 12, the touchdown pass to Odunze, that was amazing. That was an anticipatory throw over two linebackers in the middle of the field. He hits last step of his drop, back foot hits, boom, that ball is out. It's a piss missile going 900 miles per hour. Pure anticipation, pure middle of the field. That was on third and 12 with a blitz coming, with the pocket collapsing. A situation where last year you would have seen him try to flee that pocket, I think, where you would have seen him question things, where you would have seen him maybe freeze up and take a sack. Nope, he doesn't. It's a touchdown. It's a perfect throw. It's in Odunze's hand. Leads him right into the end zone. Fantastic. All of the things we're seeing Caleb do well this year are all the things that he didn't do well last year. He's playing well under center. They're using tons. He's thrown as many passes from under center as he has from shotgun. He's doing all of those things. So all those questions have already been answered. The box score stats just aren't quite as pretty as people would like still, but that's mostly because of stuff that we already know he can do. They're going to clean up some stuff in the short passing area. They're going to clean up some stuff in quick game. You should see fewer miscommunications. You should see fewer offensive penalties putting them in bad down and distances. All of the stuff that he still needs to improve is stuff we've already seen him do well at the NFL level, so we should hope that that will positively regress. The stuff that we have seen him do well this year is stuff that's stable, repeatable, projectable going forward. He's doing some real big boy NFL quarterbacking. Everything you're seeing from Caleb Williams right now should have you so fucking excited.
Yeah, it really can't be understated. In a game where we were playing one of the best, if not the best, pass rushers in the NFL, and he was destroying our backup right tackle until our backup's backup came in and held him at bay.
Absolutely eviscerating him, yeah.
One sack in that game, Caleb snuck away, got away from Max Crosby, or he threw the ball away, and yeah, his completion percentage was worse than you'd like because he did a great job of avoiding those sacks and putting the Bears in these situations that would have turned that game into a blowout, which we would have seen with Justin Fields, which we would have seen with Caleb under Eberflus and Waldron last year. The game didn't spiral out of control, even when we didn't capitalize on those early turnovers, which we'll definitely get to in a second. It didn't matter. Right? We adjusted at halftime. The thing about this game that's so beautiful is, yeah, maybe there are some Bears games that win this in the past, right? But those teams win it with more turnovers. Right? Yeah. A blocked punt, weird shit happening with Dave Tubbs special teams or, you know, with Lovie Smith scheming something up on defense. This game was won with a head coaching adjustment, with a personnel adjustment from that head coach, with a scheme adjustment, with the plays that are being called, and with good quarterback play, good wide receiver play. That's what happened in this game. We didn't have a fucking run game. Like, imagine what Caleb would do if we had a semblance of a rushing attack. Sometimes, and we've seen this from the other side of the field over and over and over again, all it takes, quarterback, coach, wide receiver, you have those three things. Sometimes you pull games like this out, and that's what we did. But it's not the same, guys. It's not usually pull these games out with bullshit. Yeah. This wasn't bullshit. This was personnel. This was a head coach who has his head on straight and maybe wants to murder a sideline reporter. But otherwise, he has his head on straight, at least on the football part of the game. And we won the game because our quarterback and our head coach and Rome Odunze, who I want to hype up Rome. Rome has been great the first four weeks of the season. It feels like he may be the best wide receiver in that class. And who would have thought with the guys who were ahead of him? Really an encouraging
RIP game. To Malik Nabers, not his fault.
Yeah, sorry about your ACL, buddy. But, that looked awful.
Yeah, no, I think I managed to get myself off track because I always do. I ran like 50 run-on sentences. But what I was trying to say is, in camp, people were puckering about those excuses. But, like, it is all that's still true, actually. You can see in these first four games the pre-snap penalties, the miscommunications in run blocking. You can see all of the way, like, Caleb and his receivers not necessarily being on the same page sometimes. It's all been there. All of it's there, and yet he has still managed to come out of it pretty much a top 10 quarterback through the quarter mark in pretty much every important and stable metric. And what that should tell you is that we have seen what we've seen for four games is the floor.
Yeah.
Like, and that you should be fucking stoked about that. Like, because I don't know that it's going to, I don't know that, you know, people, this doesn't feel like Mitch Trubisky with Matt Nagy that first year where he was pulling out a bunch of gimmicks and there were wide open receivers and being like, wait till they face a real defense. I don't know that Caleb Williams is going to face a lot worse than he's already faced. He's stared down Brian Flores. He's had his ass handed to him in Detroit. He's had Max Crosby single-handedly dominating Theo Benedict. Caleb's been under pressure. There has been a lot of pressure, and this has not been the wide open, like, play action, wide open receiver Ben Johnson offense. Like, there's been a little bit of that, but not as much as you thought because they haven't been able to run the damn ball. A lot of it's been 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12. Everybody knows you're friggin' passing. Everybody knows that they can ignore the play fakes. They can ignore the jet sweeps. They can ignore the motions. And you're still out there doing it. This is just you being a quarterback. And
with every other Bears quarterback, like, what does that 3rd and 12 look like? Right? 5-yard pass, you're hoping to get some yak. Are you throwing a fucking screen, probably, because your head coach and your offensive coordinator
you're
don't
taking a sack you? Or you're hoping Justin Fields breaks like 3 tackles and runs
you're
it
probably himself. It's a draw. It's probably a fucking draw play, honestly. Yeah. And with Caleb, it's sorry, man, I'm hitting the top of my drop. I know exactly who I'm going to. I'm looking right at Rome. He's gonna be open. I'm reading the defense correctly. I don't even need to see it. I'm putting the ball where Rome should be, and he's gonna score. That we've never had that before. Bears fans. We've seen it. We've seen it from the Packers. We've seen it from the Vikings, but we have never had it before.
You know, he gets his feet twisted sometimes, and it's caused some of the inaccuracies that we've seen in his career. But, like, Caleb mechanically, just like with his throwing motion, he's so sound when he gets his feet right, and there is just zero fat in how he delivers the football. And that's something that, like, after you've watched after you've watched Justin Fields for a couple years with that long loopy delivery, after you've watched Mr. Trubisky with those awful feet, when you see just Caleb Williams the way on that pass, just bop bop bop, back foot hits, bam, I mean, the ball is down the field to Rome before you have even conceived that he started his throwing motion. It's so clean. That's so fun to watch, just as, like, as a football fan, whenever you see a guy, like, that's the Matthew Stafford shit, where you're just like, God damn, he's so smooth with it. And that's exciting. And you can tell that with Ben Johnson, too, that it's really, Ben Johnson's really excited about where that relationship is going, too, and how Caleb is picking it up. And when he talked about, you know, at his press conference last week, he's like, I have always put a lot of pressure on myself as a play caller. Like, you have to scheme that first guy open. You have to have the perfect play call and get that. And he's like, and I already feel less pressure to do that because I trust that if I'm not right, Caleb will make me right. And when you have that already for a guy that for all the bullshit lies and rumors that this man secretly came here for Tyson Bagent and that they were feuding in camp already, bought all that stuff. That's clearly fucking bullshit that he's excited to be like, yeah, this is no knock on Jared Goff. Cause he's one of the finest distributors in the NFL today. But, like, we know Jared Goff, when if you can move him off his spot,
look at this motherfucker giving Jared Goff a compliment. I'm going to get you on the Jared Goff bus, aren't I,
Kyle? When you know, like, but I mean, just Jared Goff, the book on him, as perfect as a pocket quarterback can be right now in the NFL, but if you can move him off that first step, you've won the down pretty much. Yep. And for Ben Johnson to be like, it's not like that with Caleb. You move him off his spot, you've just opened up a whole second play and you might lose that one too. So to feel that relationship between them grow, like, I think we have seen the miscommunications, the mistakes, the errors, the bad run blocking, all this stuff that was a problem in camp. It didn't go away. It's been present. It just hasn't been a disaster. Like you felt like you were prepping yourself to excuse away a disaster because that's what we've done before. You felt like this was going to look like those first four games with Getsy and Fields in 2022, where Justin was completing barely half his passes and it was just a goddamn disaster. Up until the game against the Patriots, really that year, you felt like you were prepping for that, but you're not. You're talking about a guy who's performed like a top 10 quarterback in a not super great environment to do so. And now you're like, what does this look like if they figure out, you know, with Benedict now coming in at left tackle, they'll get Darnell back. What does this look like if you get a run game? If you get to face some second and twos, some second and threes, and Ben Johnson gets to actually do some of the neutral down wizardry that he's known for. What does this look like when they actually do get to spam some more easy buttons? I think it's going to be pretty fucking cool. You're probably going to see more games like Dallas going forward. No. Where are you at, pal? I've rambled. What do you want to talk about?
I love just a couple more things before we get into, you know, the parts of the offense that aren't working right now. I really can't say enough about Rome Odunze and the way he's getting open, but also just the work he is doing, even when he's not a part of a play or when the ball, you know, isn't caught by him on a play. That stumble bum play that we missed in this game that didn't really fool anybody. Where Caleb rolled out, you know, Rome wasn't open on his first read, and he just immediately starts running back to help Caleb, going to the spot in the field that's open. And Caleb whips the ball to him a little bit off target because he's on the run, maybe his only miss of the day. But for Rome to get open like that was just a massive effort by him, and he's doing that every single play. He is running a beautiful route. He is getting open, or if he's not, he's finding a place to get open. DJ Moore, obviously they liked what he did last week. They opened up this game with a pass meant right for him. It definitely felt like he blocked, so now he rocked.
Kind of a nice moment, too. Did you see?
End of the game.
Did you see? As soon as the
Caleb first, it's DJ Moore.
There was a nice moment between those two. You know, and I don't want to get too meatball either, but I, you know, football is a human game. We do like the meatball drama moments. I liked the story of Ben Johnson telling Caleb Williams before that game-winning drive, like, hey, man, you're built for this. You got this.
Yeah.
And everyone in the huddle saying, you know, Caleb Williams came to the huddle and looked around and was like, all right, guys, this is it. This is where we go win the game. Yeah. And to have the huddle actually believe that, that's cool. You don't get that in Chicago very often.
That drive, and I remarked upon this while it was happening, it felt like the Aaron Rodgers drive, right? It felt like, oh, shit, there's nothing the Raiders can do to stop this guy.
Yeah, you're not going to turn it over.
Those plays, we had Trapillo out there blocking Max Crosby, and he kind of lost in the way that Braxton loses, where he pushed him around the end, and he got that last little chip on him.
Yeah.
But when you're the right tackle and you have a right-handed quarterback,
yeah, whatever, Caleb just
slips up and around, he moves, he throws a nice pass, and it just felt like,
it was too
for the Raiders. There was
it was too damn easy. Caleb didn't even look like he had it. It didn't look like it was hard for him.
No,
he was just like, "All right, that's fine. I got this." And yeah, I mean that's.
And Crosby very complimentary after the game. He was just like, "Man, like it felt like we were going back and forth."
Yeah,
you know, like a heavyweight fight out there, and he just in the end he got the win.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just for the way, Bears Travis, fans out there, don't underestimate what's up.
Apparently Mac Jones looks like he may have just popped his Achilles right as we were talking about the Mac Jones resurrection tonight against the Rams. So
who do they got out there? They got Nick Mullins still, third string quarterback, the 49ers. Who is?
Yeah, I don't know. Although it sounds like maybe Mac got up. Hold on. Everybody was doing the hold on. Let's just see. Let's just see who's in there now. Is he still
while you're looking that up? I just want to say Bears fans, think about the manner in which we won this ugly game, please. You can
absolutely
be positive about this. It doesn't always have to be doom and gloom for the Bears fans. Specifically, Robert Mays, maybe pull your head out of the doom and gloom. I don't want to. Yeah, I was going to say pull your head out of something else, but maybe consider the Bears as a football team and not as some kind of source of dark, torturous destruction. Because I'm just getting a little bit tired of seeing these bullshit graphs that you're pulling out of your butt to make the Bears look bad when they aren't. Like, if I have to see another graph that tells me that the Patriots should have actually lost to the Panthers when they won by 30, just so you can get off on the Bears being bad when they win a game, I think I'm going to create a Twitter just to tell you off. So, like, cool the fuck down, buddy.
To give Robert some credit, he did say that it, you know, none of his complaints were about Caleb Williams. It's cool to see the Bears quarterback playing well in a way that for the first time truly feels sustainable. And it really does. Like, it's, like I said, it's the clean pocket stuff. It's the expected pass stuff. Nothing about what he's done. Sure, you could point to the flea flicker because it was a cool little trick play, but so much of the best Caleb Williams moments this year, the touchdown pass to Rome. That's how you draw it up on the whiteboard. Yeah. But it's not a pass that everyone can make, even though it's on the whiteboard. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks who don't have the arm, don't have the ability to get that ball over those linebackers to roam like that. I mean, it was a fucking missile. The layered ball to Luther Burden just before halftime against Dallas. All the best Caleb moments you can think of this year, for the most part. Repeatable, from the pocket, into on time, in rhythm. It just feels sustainable in a way that, you know, that I remember people getting mad at me, but after that Bucks game, for Mitch just being like, but what did he do in that game that actually impressed you?
Right.
Which of those guys wasn't wide open? Which of those throws couldn't Brian Hoyer have made? Mm-hmm. You know, and with Justin Fields, so exciting, so thrilling, but so many of them were just like, it was a scramble. It's a 60. How many weeks can you rely on a 60-yard touchdown run from your quarterback? Like, how much of this is sustainable? It feels sustainable. The quarterback play feels sustainable, and it feels like the stuff that isn't working on offense around him, for the most part, is stuff that should be able to be at least cleaned up a little bit. If making the move to Braxton Jones to a different left tackle is what they need to do to help fix their run game, it's what they need to do. But if they can just get a run game going, if they can just get into some neutral downs, if they can do some Ben Johnson trickery in situations that aren't obvious passing situations, it just only goes up from here.
Yeah, I mean, let's get into some stuff that didn't work. Like, obviously, the run
game. Cole Kmet. Your fucking fraud.
If you want to
like
talk
Black
about
Hole Kmet,
easily the worst game of Cole Kmet's career. He almost lost that game single-handedly. He drops in a pass
as
that
the kid would say he was selling him. He was selling.
But he definitely would have got within the 5-yard line. Now, did
I think it would have been a touchdown? I think Desmond Clark scores a fucking touchdown on that play.
Now, did Cole Kmet throw the next two plays? No, that was Caleb running an RPO directly into Max Crosby. That's not what you do, Caleb. You hand that ball off, and then taking a sack. The one sack that he took kicked us out of Cairo Santos's field goal range. But then, you know, like,
to be fair, on that sack, I don't think Caleb had a chance on that sack.
He didn't.
You know, that hurt me, though, because, like, do you remember who got that sack, Travis?
Who got the sack?
It was Tyree Wilson. Like, really?
Yeah. Just to assault
gonna embarrass me by taking a sack from Tyree Wilson. Now, granted, it was basically unblocked. It was a miscommunication. He came right up the middle on a stunt, but, like, which is the only kind of sack Tyree Wilson gets. But, god damn it, Tyree Wilson.
Something me in front of Tyree Wilson. There, I think that'll probably be a point of discussion with Ben. It's just, hey, you got to know the
Tyree
situation.
Wilson sucks. Don't get take sacks from guys who suck.
Run straight ahead, fall down. We'll take the three. You know, just like another stupid part of quarterbacking. That's like, you're not getting out of this one, buddy. Just let us get the field goal. But yeah, Cole had like the worst day of his career, I think, by far. You know, a lot of people are kind of overreacting to that. Like, get rid of
him.
Right
he sucks.
Now.
Fuck him.
He had
can't
a bad
wait for
game.
Colston Loveland to return and take his job.
Beyond that, obviously, we still don't have a run game. We don't have the semblance of a run game. We had a couple nice runs from Kyle Menangai, and now everybody's like, why doesn't Menangai get all the carries? It's because we still suck overall, guys. Like, Menangai is not going to be the answer. There's a reason he went in the 7th round. Like, this running back room. Kyle, we joked about our running back room for the last few years being like different pieces of one great running back, but they're all like separated and none of them make any sense. This, we don't even have that anymore. What we've got is like a guy who pretends that he's shifty, but he actually can't even do that. He just doesn't have good vision. He just has to juke a little bit when he sees a hole and then he gets tackled. We've got Kyle Menangai, who's a power back, except he's not an NFL power back. He can't like run through
Rutgers power back.
This isn't even Deontay Foreman This is just like a dude who's going to get hit and stop. And we've got Roschon Johnson, who allegedly is our pass blocker, but can't pass block well enough to get on the field. So we have nothing as far as running backs go. And our run blocking has been fine. But I feel like as Bears fans, we have been so traumatized by awful blocking for so long that we're looking at a run blocking and a pass blocking unit that is decent, is okay, is like mid as far as the NFL is concerned. And we're treating it like, oh, well, this is great. You know, this must be all the running back's fault. This is Ben Johnson is looking at this line and he is saying what he's feeling, which is this isn't well, good. And it's still not, which is good. I'm glad we have a coach saying, I want to shoot higher than this as an offense.
Yeah, I think all of Ben Johnson's criticisms is pretty obvious now in hindsight. We're directed at Braxton Jones.
It's not all at Braxton. Like,
no, it's not all Braxton, but I think in terms of performance, but Braxton specifically, like, was just blowing assignments left and right. Like, it's one thing to fuck, but, like, you saw on the last play, like, a couple people pointed it out on the All-22, on the last play before Braxton got Braxton pulled, Cole Kmet, before the snap, is trying to be like, hey, because he could tell Braxton was already looking at the wrong guy. Cole Kmet's trying to, and then there's examples of that through all four games.
Yeah.
And that's what's really disappointing with Braxton Jones, because we defended the guy, we loved the guy. I'm bummed that, you know, he's cost himself a lot of money with that injury. But it'd be one thing, like, it's frustrating that it's not just, oh, he clearly can't move. He's clearly he was blowing stuff mentally. And I think that's what got him benched finally. And that's like, Braxton, that's on you, buddy. Like, you gotta know who the guy is that you're supposed to be blocking on the, and JT O'Sullivan, it was on his Patreon. So I don't think a lot of people saw it, but like, he pointed out, I think like four or five plays in that game where the run play died solely because Braxton Jones blocked the wrong guy, cut inside when he's supposed to go. Like, just was not, just an abysmal, egregious game.
We all saw how dramatically it improved the second Braxton was out and Benedett was on the left side. It's not a coincidence. Like, we can't pretend that Braxton wasn't the problem at this point. One of the things I wanted to mention just about the offensive line, like the penalties, the issues that we've had along the offensive line, they've all kind of focused down to three guys. It's Darnell Wright, Braxton Jones, and Cole Kmet. And the thing about those three guys, as opposed to everybody else along that line, is
they're going to make an argument that those guys have the most Bears stink on them. Is that
they have the
most? They're the ones that need the most deprogramming.
Exactly. Well, it's not necessarily deprogramming, but it's that the way the Bears have been running things along that offensive line has been very simplistic, and it's been boiled down for young quarterbacks, right? For either young or Justin Fields quarterback. Stupid. Right. Exactly. Justin Fields quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
Justin Fields, I think, is a very intelligent young dude off the field. Yep. On the field, he's a half a second stupid.
The offensive line, like, we haven't used cadence. We know that. That's been a big deal here, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. It's the calls. It's the audibles. It's everything that Caleb is doing successfully right now that the offensive linemen haven't had to deal with for the last 3 or 4 years. So, yeah, it's going to take a little longer for Darnell and Braxton, who's going to be sitting on the bench, it sounds like. And
yeah, you know, let's...
then Cole Kmet, who is just a blocking tight end all the goddamn time. But that's going to be one of those things that gets better as the season goes on.
Yeah. Let's take a second to talk about it, cause the cadence. Yeah. Cause here's Caleb Williams going under center, setting protections, killing plays, doing just fine. All these things that we were told in Ty Dunn's article, he refused to do.
Oh, he can't do it. He's so dumb. He must be dyslexic.
He's so stupid. He ruined Chris Morgan's perfect run blocking scheme.
Oh, Chris Morgan, genius offensive line coach.
Respected veteran Chris Morgan, who worked for Sean McVay.
Yeah.
So again, you know, there was a Mike Tomlin video where he was talking about how he's like, I love when I get an advantage as a coach and I get players that other coaches don't want because they run from the responsibility of coaching.
Yeah.
And that's clearly what happened last year with that staff and with Caleb Williams. It was not that Caleb Williams refused to learn cadences or that Caleb Williams insisted they do things the way he did them at USC. It was that every time Caleb Williams didn't grasp something on the first try, that coaching staff was like, fine, we'll just dumb it down. We'll just push past it. Do whatever. Because Ryan Poles alluded to that too when he said that there were steps skipped to get him to Sunday. And that's on the coaching staff. That's not on Caleb Williams. Because sometimes, yeah, it is the job of the coaching staff to try to make things as easy in that transition for the quarterback as you can. I think Washington did a fantastic job of that with Jaden Daniels in basically running his college offense whole hog for Washington last year.
Yeah.
But with Caleb, it was just, you know, one thing I wanted to point out with his pressures to sack rate improving so much is one of the reasons that you don't see a lot of it's his internal clock improving. A lot of it is him making that right idea of when to leave the pocket. But one thing that's also not there that was there last year was the constant unblocked fucking rushers coming through, because Waldron's scheme, Morgan's scheme, was so dumbed down and so simplistic that NFL defensive coordinators figured out pretty quickly, like, they have about five protection rules and each one of them can be exploited, and all you got to do is figure out which one that they're in and then target that gap because there's going to be nobody to pick you up. Now that Caleb has the response, the ability to change these protections, to slide things, to do all these things, to kill these plays, you don't see those unblocked rushers coming. You don't see those egregious no-hope sacks. And so, again, whatever, you know, people freaked out about that Ty Dunn article, but it's clearly bullshit. All it does is make that coaching staff look as inept as they actually were, because Caleb Williams was clearly capable of doing some of this stuff. Probably not as much as he's capable of doing right now because he has a whole year of NFL experience, but clearly you dumbed things down more than you actually needed to, because you didn't know how to coach. So fuck you guys.
Well, guess what? Caleb got the Ty Dunn buff, just like Rodgers did, just like everybody he's ever written an article.
Just like Sean McDermott. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the defense. Here's how I want to frame talking about the defense here, Kyle. We spent a lot of time this offseason talking about it's going to be an adjustment to Ben Johnson's offense. It's very complicated. Remember the 2022 Lions. Takes a while. You know, it took them 8 full games of misery before they really locked in, and the Lions that we see now popped out, right? So I feel like we spent a lot of time on that. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about how good our defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, is, how successful he's been, but also how tricky his defense can be to learn and to put into practice on the field. And the defense looked pretty bad there the first couple weeks. We were like, oh, there's no help coming personnel-wise. Like, this can only get worse, guys.
Yeah.
Tyreek Stevenson was the worst corner in the league. And I feel like maybe I was wrong to not give them more leeway because, gosh, it feels like they figured something out these last couple weeks. Tyreek Stevenson in particular, after everything I said about him after those first two games, that kid has
literally
been crushing it.
Literally the last first 2 weeks, literally the worst quarter in the NFL. Last 2 weeks, statistically, literally the best quarter in the NFL. Yeah. Crazy turnaround.
What a miracle from Tyreek.
And again, I think maybe it was unfair to completely write a guy off of a two-game sample size that solely consisted of you are covering Justin Jefferson and you are covering Amon-Ra St. Brown, and you're doing so with basically no pass rush help. Good luck.
And with no corner help, like, you've got Nashon Wright behind you, buddy. You've got somebody named McLeod after that. Like, we are without corners at this point.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see after the bye. We should, knock on wood, finally have Kyler back. Tyreek's really picked it up. Hopefully, you know, the defense has a little bit more depth. Hopefully we get Grady Jarrett back. The thing about Dennis Allen is, you know, it's not what Bears fans are used to in terms of the Lovey tree, even the Flus tree. And also, honestly, even Vic Fangio. This is not a defense that is predicated first and foremost around limiting big plays. This is a defense that tries to break your shit, basically.
Yeah.
And when it works, when he tricks you, when he gets you, you make guys look stupid, like he made Geno look stupid, like he made Dak look kind of stupid at times. When it doesn't work, when you pick it up, there's opportunities. Detroit did a great job of just frankly blocking it up and then picking it apart, because he will sell out to stop stuff. And even against the Vegas, with them having the injuries they had on the defensive line without Grady Jarrett there, he basically was like, you know what? We're going to give up some yards on the ground. The hope is we get into a couple third downs and we make Geno give us the ball. And that was, and it worked to perfection, but like they do not have enough talent. And this scheme is not built so that a lot of times they're going to do everything right. They're going to give you some gimmies on the ground, or they're going to get beat deep because they've sold out to get a blitz going. It's not what we're used to in Chicago. This is not bend but don't break. Yep. This is either you break us or we break you, but somebody's breaking.
Yeah, it's a big play-oriented defense.
But it's an adjustment too. And yeah, you'd hope with hopefully with Grady Jarrett coming along as hopefully as Jervon Dexter gets a little bit more used to this scheme and doing some two gapping instead of one gapping. Hopefully that gets better too. Kyler Gordon coming back, etc. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that manages to get results year after year, regardless of the personnel. So hopefully the defense can just do enough to keep us in games all year long. And I think the offense will continue to improve from here.
Yeah. So Tyreek Stevenson obviously had a great game, had an interception. I think it's funny with Tyreek because sometimes on the back end of a play, even when the ball doesn't go to him, you can see him and it's just like he's been Velcroed to his guy.
Oh yeah.
He is in insane coverage out there.
He's one of those guys that you can tell wide receivers are just absolutely furious with by the end of the game. He's super. Devin Witherspoon, my Illini boy, who's doing great in Seattle. He's that kind of guy too, where it's just like by the end of the game, you can tell the wide receiver he's been on all game wants to fucking fight him. And that's what you want. That's what you want.
As long as Tyreek isn't taking
it. As long as Tyreek can harness it. Yeah. As long as Tyreek can harness it. Speaking
of Byard,
Kevin Byard, two interceptions,
man.
I thought Byard was looking pretty washed there, and he's also had two very strong games back-to-back. He took that personal, too. And, yeah, both those interceptions were legit, too. He read Geno. I will say, to defend Geno a little bit, I know there's always a lot of discourse around Geno Smith because the Film Watcher Brigade loves him because Geno does a lot of the things that I think film watchers aren't wrong in viewing as elite quarterback traits, which is pocket management. He doesn't take egregious sacks. He's not afraid to attack the middle of the field. He plays on time. He tests tight windows. He does all of that stuff. I think that's led them to overrate Geno a little bit. You had some guys declaring him like a top 10 guy, an elite guy. I don't think he's as bad as he's looked the last couple weeks either. I think part of the problem right now in Vegas, and we never really talked about this hire during the offseason because we never talk about the Raiders very much. I saw a lot of hype for hiring Chip Kelly, and I thought that was weird. I think it's because we were just coming off of Cliff Kingsbury doing some cool stuff in Washington and maybe, just hire a college guy is back in vogue. But I feel like people forgot why Chip Kelly got ran out of the NFL last time. And not just because of his flaws as a personnel person in Philadelphia, but also like it's a very simplistic passing offense. There's not a lot of plays, not a lot of concepts. And he doesn't even do what he used to do where they used to try to do the like breakneck pace, run 80 plays a game, literally have the guy on the sidelines holding up the sign like they did him when he was at Oregon. He doesn't even do that anymore. So defenses really aren't as confused. And Geno is not a guy who is going to be a plus one in the run game as a quarterback run person anymore. So it makes them pretty defendable. And I think Dennis Allen stole his lunch on several of those interceptions. Not to say that they're not Geno's fault. You got to know when not to throw it. But Dennis Allen absolutely beat the shit out of Chip Kelly on those passing plays. He knew what Chip was going to run, and he had the perfect call for it every time.
Yeah, so like a Dennis Allen defense, traditionally, a guy like Geno is kind of the guy who is going to get disrupted by his defense the most. The one that's going to get past Dennis Allen is going to be the Jared Goff. It's going to be the guy who's like, fine, I will take that 5-7 yard pass, quick hitter every single time. I'm not going to be thrown out. Like, you're going to blitz me, whatever. You got six guys coming. There's always going to be somebody underneath who's open. That's fine. Like, this guy who is a robot. You know, the Kyle Shanahan quarterback, the guy who's just totally fine taking the easy shit and just walking you down the field and not making those horrible mistakes. But a guy like Geno, that's not how Geno plays, you know, and Geno is going to be, you're going to be able to take advantage of that guy. This could be good. You know, later on down the line on Black Friday, we play the Eagles. Might be successful against a guy like Jalen Hurts. It hurts my heart to say, but that's the kind of quarterback you can exploit. But then again, you're going to run into these guys like, you know, like I said, like Goff or, yeah, even a McCorkle when we play the 49ers, if he's the guy in there or a Purdy, they're the kind of guy who might be able to work against Dennis Allen. So it's weird. It's a weird thing. It's a weird defense for Bears fans to get used to because we're used to Lovie Smith just like letting you kind of get walked down the field and stalling you out for a field goal. Dennis Allen's like, give me the picks, give me the sacks. I don't care if you score a touchdown because I'm going to score a touchdown on defense or we're going to put our team in a short field in position to score touchdowns. So whole different kind of thing. Wanted to shout out Noah Sewell again. Just
he's huge playing well.
That he's coming on. Great run defender, playing pretty well in the pass game. He'll get burned about once a game, it feels like. He's going to be in the wrong spot. But, yeah, great young find for a linebacker. Tremaine Edmonds, I thought, played decently well in this game. I know the
Brock lasting Bowers
image is going to be him getting shrugged off by Ashton Jeunte. I understand that, but I also need everybody to understand that if you touch Ashton Jeunte above his waist, you're not going to tackle him, and I don't think the Bears do that.
Brock Bowers did not do shit during that game. And that's, I think that reflects on the linebackers and the safeties playing pretty well in that game. He did not have a lot of opportunities. Travis, a moment for your boy.
Okay.
Special teams player of the week.
Yeah.
Josh Blackwell. You want to talk about it? You want to talk about your guy? Talk about Josh Blackwell.
You know how much I love Josh Blackwell.
Yeah, I know.
He's been
how
on
much
this team
you love
for
Josh
forever.
Blackwell.
A great special teamer, wonderful backup player who just does everything he needs to do. Like, he plays like four snaps a game on defense or whatever. But apparently, the Bears, he was tipped. He was tipped by the Bears' long snapper to be like, hey, that motherfucker. Every time he's about to snap the ball, he wiggles it a little bit at the beginning. And he, I guess he gave him this. And I guess much maligned special teams coordinator basically told Ben Johnson before the play, Blackwell's going to block this one. He is going to get this one. And sure enough, he got off the ball, super hot, great block. It's just, it's nice. You could see the whole locker room was so excited for that guy because he is like, he is a true veteran of this Bears team. He has been through everything with the Bears. And for him to get a little bit of shine there is just spectacular. And obviously, I was like freaking out because I'm like, that's Josh Blackwell who got the block. Like, that's my guy.
I know you love him.
That's
fantastic. And then I guess
it's great to see. It's great to see Tim Hightower. Like, also, we got a really nice punt out of Torrey Taylor in this game too. Like, stopped it right at the two. Huge for the Bears. Huge momentum shift because if that went poorly, the whole game was going to go from there.
Yeah, with a very good, big punt.
Good on the special teams of this game. Cairo Santos,
4 for 4.
Hit a big one.
They were good.
Hit a long one, yep.
They were not gimmies.
So, hey, I've been giving it to Hightower. Special teams is huge in this game for the Bears.
It was.
No question.
It was. And I think that's,
however,
I think that is
I'm
part gonna, of
I'm
where...
I'm going to say this. We'll wrap this back around to Caleb, Kyle.
Wrap it back around. Wrap it.
We got that blocked field goal, but... because we got that stop and because they had to kick the field goal with 40-some seconds left, I got to tell you, I was thinking, even if they make this field goal, I feel pretty good about Caleb getting us down there into field goal range.
Yeah, I mean, they had a couple timeouts left, too. Yeah, I was like, hey, if they get this, the Bears still have time. Yeah, I had that thought, too. I did. No, what was I going to say? I guess that's part of where I also get kind of mad sometimes, too, when people treat a game like that as the Bears should feel ashamed that they won that one or whatever was said. Like, special teams matter, too. Can we, like, special teams matter, too, you know? And I feel like some of the yardage imbalance was because, the Bears were consistently playing with short fields, and you would have liked to have seen them convert those into more points, but, like, it's not a knock that you... Honestly, it felt like I was talking with Robert Schmitz, who I know a lot. I know he's in our Discord. I know a lot of people on Bears Twitter and people listen to this podcast used to love Robert when he did Bears stuff. And he was like, I know this is a crazy take. I know this sounds like coping. I almost felt like the short fields threw Caleb and Ben out of a rhythm early in the game because that's not what they kind of scripted for. They didn't have the like length of the field to settle in the way they did. They were kind of put into a different script right away. And I was like, you know what? I love that. That's a great cope. Let me steal it. We'll do that.
I mean, honestly, it's just Caleb is passing the ball so much more than he should have to because this run game is not effective. And you could see Ben grimace on the sideline. He's like, we have to be able to run the fucking ball.
Yeah.
Or play action doesn't work. Like, or we're going to be behind the sticks constantly. Or Caleb, they're just going to pin their ears back. We can't have Max Crosby pinning his fucking ears back going at our quarterback. And that's what happened the entire first half. I'm looking forward to, you know, here we get a bye week, we get another week of practice, and then we get to go into this huge game, in my mind at least, against the fucking, the hated communists of Washington.
I feel like
Jaden Daniels out there.
I feel
like
that
he's
is
gonna be healthy.
I mean, narratively, that's going to be a big game, and I do feel like psychologically, if the Bears can find a way to win that, and I am worried about that game, mostly defensively because of the effort the Bears have had on run defense, and because the Commanders can run the fuck out of the ball, that does concern me. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited too to see what, as they get healthy, I would think for that game, I would think they have Grady Jarrett back. I would think they have Darnell Wright back. I would think they have Colston Loveland back. They have Kyler. They should have pretty much everybody they expected to have. Hell, they might even have Austin Booker back for that game. They should have as full of a, they should have as many people as they have been able to have for a game yet this year. And I'm expecting, you know, hopefully Ben Johnson to really have a good solid game plan, and with the changes they're making at left tackle, hopefully be able to run the ball that game. And we'll get to see them finally do some of the cool shit that they want to do and play action and neutral down stuff based off of that. But yeah, it'd be a big game. I'm excited. When you first got the schedule, you're like, oh, week five bye. That's way too damn early. But now you're like, thank God they have this early bye. They can recuperate. And that's the other thing about that game. Like, there is no shame. Like, sometimes when you lose your starting right tackle 48 hours before you face Max Crosby and you're going on the road, sometimes shit can happen. And it's the thing that can kind of derail your game plan and put you in a bad situation. But a good team, they find a way to get out of that hangover and they steal a win, and you get to go into the bye and then you get to regroup. And that's what happened. They stole the win. They get to go in the bye. They get to go and regroup. It's a game we would have seen them lose before. It's a game we saw them win this year. That means something. Damn it. It's still real to me. Damn it.
Yeah. Okay. So before
it's the still year, real to me.
Before the year said, give us eight games, right? The 2022 Lions sucked through eight games. Those last nine games, they kicked ass. The Bears, they're 2-2 right now. What I said before the season was, if we can get to 4-4 through those first eight, just get me to 4-4. We have a real shot. I feel like we can make it into the playoffs at that point. Our next four games at the Commies, who have looked pretty weakened, home for the Saints, at the Ravens, and then at the Bengals. A lot of winnable games. A lot of there games. So we have a really strong fight. I mean, certainly like comparable to the Cowboys and the Raiders at the very least. So I'm feeling pretty hyped, Kyle. Like it does feel like a full circle moment, right? Having another early season game against the Commies. We're feeling pretty good going into this game.
We're returning. Tyreek
Stevenson is at the peak of his powers right now, right? And he was the dog the last time. We're all going to remember that image of him mocking the wrong side of the crowd just as that Hail Mary is about to be completed. Like Caleb coming back and hoping
there's going to be a lot of motivation.
Jaden Daniels. This is a huge fucking game. And I mean, we're going to talk a lot about it next week, but it couldn't be bigger.
I don't know if we'll talk about it a lot next week. Next week, you know, I love to take our bye week too as a bye week for us. I like to look around, not to not have an episode, but there's a lot of stuff go around the NFL that we'd like to talk about too. We get Bears centric here on a Bears podcast, but I think there's a quarter season mark. There'll be games this weekend to talk about. Is there a better feeling in the NFL than when your team wins going into the bye, you're feeling good, and then you get just a whole week of just stress-free football to just survey the landscape? That's a good feeling.
What you mean is we're going to spend 1 hour talking about Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold and the Alex Smith event horizon next week.
Absolutely. I mean, that's probably going to come up. I think we'll have some stuff to say probably about Jackson Dart. I'd like to check in on Cam Ward because fucking nobody is. Absolutely nobody's talking about him.
Kyle, you made this point. We were, you know, like good Bears fans, we were scheduled. You know, peaking, and you kept saying like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like some teams are going to turn.
I never schedule peak. I don't do it.
You hate that stuff. And look at what we've got. The Saints don't have Derek Carr. We've got the Giants. Now they're playing Jackson.
The Ravens might not have Lamar Jackson for God's sake. When we get to them,
like the Ravens look beaten up. The Bengals don't have Joe Burrow. Like, holy shit. Suddenly our schedule's looking a lot easier. It's all fucking, it's sunshine and rainbows right now. So Bears fans, stop being so fucking gloomy. Like, everything is looking pretty good for this team. We've got a quarterback, we've got a wide receiver, we've got a head coach. Everything else is kind of falling into place. Like, just enjoy it. Enjoy it, man. This is different from what we had for the few glimmers of hope we had with Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky. Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. Yeah, I mean, we've said this a million times. It's so unfair to Caleb that he has to bear the weight of all the failures before him. But, like, if Justin had a quarter season like this to start the year, where if he looked like this, people would have been over the moon. If Mitch Trubisky had done it, people would have been over the moon. Like, people would have been buying in. People are so scared and reluctant to buy in, and I get it, but like, just try not to miss it while it's happening, folks, because I know we've never seen it before, but this, I assure you, I'm very confident this is what it looks like when you see a kid that is so fucking talented start to figure it out. And I'm not saying he's there, and that's actually what's exciting about it. He's not there yet. You just see that he's getting there. You see that he's on the track. You see him progressing. You see he's only scratching the surface of what he can be in this offense. And that's fucking exciting. Because like I said, right now the results, if, you know, maybe not classic box score stats, but whether you want to use ESPN's EPA per dropback, whether you want to use adjusted net yards per attempt, whether you want to use PFF grades, he's performing like a top 12 quarterback already.
Yeah.
And I think he's only beginning to scratch the surface. So like, it's coming. It's really coming.
It's happening right here. How about at the very least, let's compromise, folks. If you are feeling doomy and you're feeling gloomy and you're feeling like throwing a fit during a Bears game and calling people a bunch of names and maybe talking about how, you know, God, they've procreated.
They shouldn't be so sensitive. Yeah.
Like if you're thinking that way, let yourself open yourself up to being convinced that the other thing is happening, right? Because I feel like a lot of Bears fans went through the first half of this game and said, no matter what happens the rest of the way, I am upset. This is awful. The Bears will never change. Everything will be terrible. Caleb spent an entire second half, Ben Johnson, Roma Dunze, this defense, convincing you it's not that way, that these are not the same old Bears. Open yourself up to being convinced that this Bears team is different, that this group is going to grow and turn into something special. You know, because like, if you're not going to do that, why are you out here watching football, guys?
Yeah. And I don't know if I still don't know if this is a playoff team. I still have concerns about how well this defense will hold up against some of the better offenses that we will see. But if you are, I think most people are trying to say like, yeah, I mean, if you want to use our friend Robert Mays that you were going off on earlier, he himself said, the goal for the Bears this year is to feel good in December about the coach and quarterback pairing. It's October 2nd. I'm already there.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Like, so whether the arrow's up, whether that takes us all the way in the playoffs this year, whether it's next year, I don't know. But like, this is the most I have ever believed that they have the guy. Yeah. That means something, folks.
It's not even
fucking Kyle Orton. That means something.
It's the guys. The best Justin Fields ever got was like a hopeful 22nd best quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. Where we were like, well, if he turns it on a bit, he might get up to literally where Caleb is right now. That was like our best case scenario for Justin. Caleb right now, like you said, like in the aggregate, is like the 12th best quarterback in the NFL. Right now, like that Bears fans are just are calling that bullshit. It's not bullshit. All right, Caleb is who we thought he was, a generational talent at quarterback, and we're hoping that throughout the rest of the season he's going to show up. But God, just enjoy that last drive. Enjoy what he did throughout this game. Enjoy that fight between him and Max Crosby and the rest of the Raiders defense. Like just take it in. Because what's happening right now is what we have wanted to happen our entire lives, Kyle. And for some people, since 1985, you know, did people think Jim McMahon was that back then? I don't know. Before he got thrown on his head in the most egregious personal foul in the history of personal fouls. I have no idea. I didn't watch Jim McMahon back then. But for me, this is the fucking thing, guys. This is the thing that we've always wanted. Yeah. 36 years of my fucking life, I've never seen this.
Oh, you have to remember also,
don't
like,
let
you
this
were
pass
one,
you by.
Folks, go back and listen to this podcast. You entered last year. You were like, look, I am absolutely determined not to give Caleb Williams any more credit than he earned. Like, I'm not gonna be necessarily pessimistic, but I'm not gonna sit here and say I believe in this guy until I have seen results on the field that make me believe in this guy. But
here they are. We've seen them. They're happening right now. Like, this is what a good quarterback does. This is what good quarterback play looks like. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, guys. Like, let's have some fun for the rest of the season. We are playing relevant football the rest of the way, and we are having fun with this offense while we're doing it.
And speaking of having some fun, it's always fun in the Discord. If you are anyone other than the guy that we booted for being a dickhead last week, and you were listening to Puck's podcast, and you want to join us in there, email Travis at start, is it startkyleorton@gmail.com, or is it just startkyle?
Startkyleorton@gmail.com.
And what should be this year? What should be this week's test?
Am I picking this week? All right, guys.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Here's what you do. If give me your favorite JoJo's Bizarre Adventure stand and why. Kyle has no idea what this is, but also last week I had no fucking idea about anything to do with history. Roman history, maybe a little bit, only because Kyle has told me about it. So JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you can either send me a GIF, you could tell me why that's the best stand, doesn't have to be the strongest stand, just give me your opinion. I've noticed NFC North meme war has been very JoJo's based lately, so that's what I want. You send me that, I'll send you a link to the Discord, guys. We have a lot of fucking
people. We have 40 people in there. We had 41, but again, we booted an asshole for being a dumbass. So.
A lot of good conversation. Yeah, just, you know, no personal attacks in the Discord. I just don't like that. So, you start attacking people personally, you will get launched out of there. If you know that you're going to start talking like you're playing League of Legends, maybe don't ask for the Discord link. Maybe keep that.
It's a refuge from Bears Twitter. Do not become Bears Twitter. So
correct. Yeah.
There are lots of places on the internet where you can call Caleb Williams a bust the instant he has an incomplete pass. I assure you that our Discord is not the best place for it. So
that's right. All right. So I think that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to have some fun.
Bye week one.
Fun.
We did talk about how I did say where things were trending a couple weeks ago. The plan for the bye week was just a whole episode ripping Ryan Poles a new asshole. And I still reserve the right to do that at any time. But, you know, like,
oh, Kyle, I haven't shown you yet.
But trying to have some happy vibes.
The offseason tournament, spoiler alert, is just going to be the worst Ryan Poles moves. The beautiful thing about that tournament, Kyle, is that it took me no time to fill out an entire bracket. I've got three agents.
You got 16 entries in there already?
Miscellaneous.
Wow.
And it filled it. I actually have too many. I have too many. And this guy's only been here for 4 years. But yeah, we're going to be positive. It's going to be positive next week.
So we'll just do a quarter season NFL check-in next week. We'll talk about whatever I decide I want to talk about. So that'll
be fun. We're Lovey Smith pilled, all right? We break the season into quarters. And just because they threw one extra regular season game in there doesn't
change
anything.
Don't pretend
like it
doesn't. That doesn't change anything.
That's right. All right. See you next week.
Later, gang.
Way out on that bumper floor. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.